You may be seated. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing, "Blessed Are They That Do His Commandments," song number 595. It's our prayer that you'll be among those who obey His blessed commands, that you might gain that victory we just sang about, victory in Jesus. We're glad you're with us. We have those visiting, and we thank you for coming. We encourage you to get your Bible and search the Scriptures with us. I want to talk to you about the three words projected before you this afternoon. My happy place. If you visited a souvenir shop while on vacation, chances are you saw an item with these words printed. My happy place. Sometimes there are those, when you think about a happy place, they might say that my happy place is at the lake. Or my happy place is in the mountains. My happy place is in a cabin somewhere. These words have been printed from things like pillows to plaques to teddy bears and t-shirts. I'm making spiritual application of the words my happy place. I want to ask you, don't answer out loud, but just think within your own mind, where's your happy place? From a spiritual standpoint, I want to share with you my happy place. First of all, my happy place is my home. We're familiar with the home as God instituted it at the beginning, as revealed in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. How that God in 6 days created the earth, the heaven, the sea, and all that in them is. And on the seventh day He rested. On the sixth day He formed man and saw that it was not good that the man should be alone, and so He made a helpmeet for the man in making a woman and bringing her under the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she is taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." That Genesis 2 story marks the beginning of the home. Much is revealed about it in the Bible. Jesus in Matthew 19 encountered some who asked about divorce. He said, "What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." When you think about the home, you might think about a happy place. Happiness is certainly associated with the home. In Psalm 127, beginning in verse 3, the psalmist said, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I'm capitalizing on the fact that the psalmist said, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." In Psalm 128, which was beautifully read in our presence a moment ago, notice, "Blessed or happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in His ways." And when he spoke of fearing the Lord and walking in His ways, notice the blessings, the happiness associated with that. When he said, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." If we want to be happy, we want to be blessed, we want things to be well with us, then we need to fear the Lord and walk in His ways. And he talked about the home. He said, "Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house, thy children like all the plants round about thy table." Who's he talking about in this text? "Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." Verse 4. We can't emphasize enough the importance of fearing the Lord. That's the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. I suggest to you that the happy home is the home where everyone fears the Lord and walks in His ways. Whenever there are those in the home who do not fear the Lord and do not walk in His ways, then that's going to create a place in a state of unhappiness. There are going to be problems as a result of that. As the psalmist said in Psalm 144 and verse 15, "Happy is that people whose God is the Lord." You show me a home where father and mother and children are committed to fearing the Lord and walking in His ways, and I'll show you a happy place. The home where the man as husband loves his wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The home or the man who loves his wife as he loves his own body, who nourishes and cherishes her even as the Lord of the church. The home where the man as husband has the kind of love that Paul in the love chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 mentioned and described when he said, suffereth long, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, never faileth. That's the home that is the happy place. You show me the home where the woman as wife is in submission to her husband, who reverences her husband, and who has this same kind of love for him and for her children that he has for her and for his children. As Paul said in Titus chapter 2, that the older women are to teach the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. Titus 2 and verse 4. You show me that kind of home, and I'll show you a home that is a happy place. The home where the children also fear the Lord and walk in His ways. Where children, out of fear of the Lord and dedicated to walking in His ways, obey their parents and honor their father and their mother, as Paul directed Ephesian children to do in Ephesians chapter 6, 1 and 2. And so the happy place is the home where there are those who fear the Lord and who walk in His ways. Let me ask you, don't answer out loud, but is your home the happy place? There are young people who, when the school day ends and it's time to board their bus and go home, that have tears in their eyes. They don't want to leave school. Because for them, the school place is a happier place than the home place. And that's sad. It ought not be that way. And there are those, because of unhappiness in the home, cannot wait to leave the home. They talk about how they want to get away from home. They want to leave home. And there are those who even run away from home because of all the unhappiness that exists there. There are those where they experience shouting and screaming and unkindness, and they don't know what to expect when they get home, what state of mind their father's going to be in, or how their mother's going to treat them, or they may not have a mother at home or a father at home. And they may be just bounced from one place to another like a ping pong ball, from pillar to post. And so there's no stability, there's no security for them. Let's work to make our home the happy place, the place where we long to be. I'm thankful that no matter what might come up in a given day, that I can go home and know that I am in a happy place. I'm in a place of security and stability. To know that my wife will be there to love me and to support me and to care for me come what may. And I have children who do the same. That is a great blessing that the Lord has provided for us. Is your home a happy place? But secondly, as I think about these words, my happy place, I'm not thinking about a cabin somewhere. I'm not thinking about making a trip to the lake. I'm thinking about some other place. I'm thinking about Christ and the church as my happy place. You know, Paul wrote at length concerning husbands and wives, and in Ephesians 5:32, he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. Yes, the church of Christ is my happy place. God promised Abram back in the long ago in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And so blessing, happiness, comes to the families of the earth in Abraham, in his seed. In Acts chapter 3, when Peter preached the gospel of Christ at Solomon's porch, notice he made reference to this promise of blessing concerning the seed of Abraham, and applied that promise of blessing to God's Son, Jesus. He said, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, that is to the Jews, God, having raised up His Son, Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's where happiness, that's where blessing comes. To those who are in His Son Jesus, who have turned away from His iniquities. The Bible teaches that the way of transgressors is hard. The word transgressor is just another word for iniquity or sin. And so we bring hardship, we bring unhappiness, discomfort to ourselves through transgression, iniquity, and sin. But when we turn away from those in Jesus Christ, we find happiness, we find blessing. Likewise, Paul mentioned this happy place in his letter to the Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, he said, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying," and this is a quote from Genesis 12:3, "In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Now drop down to verse 26. He's going to make the point that those who are in Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs according to that promise. He said, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." For this gives the reason of a preceding statement. Why are they children of God by faith? For, here's the reason, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So being baptized into Christ, they are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And in verse 29, he said, "If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And what's the promise? "That in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And so what a blessing. How happy it is to be in Christ. And to be in Christ is to be in the church of Christ. You can't be in one and not be in the other. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul talked about those who are now in Christ Jesus, verse 13, and then in verse 16 said, "In one body." And look at the blessings. At one time, outside of Christ, without the body of Christ, according to verse 1, they were dead in trespasses and sins. But he said, "You hath he quickened." And so once dead, now alive. In verse 2, he said, "In time past, he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our manner of life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Notice the contrast, verse 10. He said, "In Christ Jesus, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Much unhappiness comes when you walk according to the course of this world. Remember, Jesus said, "In the world you'll have tribulation. But he said, in me you'll have peace." Peace and happiness go together. Tribulation and unhappiness are related. And so are we walking in good works in Christ or according to the course of this world without Christ? Notice he says in verse 5, "By grace are you saved." If you're not saved, then you're lost. And to be lost is a horrible feeling. If you've ever gotten off the course, off the trail, and you can't find your way, there's no word to describe the horrible feeling. But think about being found as we sing that song, "Amazing Grace." Once was lost, now I'm found. And by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, and in verse 8. So you can't read Ephesians 2, 1 through 13, and not emphasize or be impressed by the blessedness, the happiness of being in Christ. In Christ is where we're all blessed with spiritual blessings, Ephesians chapter 1, and in verse 3. In addition to that, as members of the body of Christ, the church of Christ, we're among disciples who love one another. Who love one another as Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, John 13, 34 and 35. And how happy it is to be among members of the body who have the same care one for another, that mutual concern and empathy, where you have those who rejoice with you and suffer with you, even to the point of weeping with those who weep, 1 Corinthians 12, 25 and 26. I can talk about Christ and the church this afternoon as my happy place because it's a place where we bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6 and verse 2. Sometimes we are troubled with burdens we can't bear alone, and we don't have to. As you look around you, you have lots of shoulders that you can cry on and lean on. And so if you're looking for a happy place today, I'm suggesting and recommending to you in the very best way I know how, Christ and the church as your happy place. That's why when you come together, there are those who want to talk and visit with you, and folks aren't too eager to leave. You know, some places it's not that way. It's not a very happy place in some local churches. Not because of the Lord's standpoint, not because of some fault or problem with Him, but because of the human element. Folks not loving one another, not caring for one another as they should and could. Instead of that disposition, biting and devouring one another, fussing and fighting and striving with one another, instead of striving together for the faith of the gospel, instead of contending for the faith, contending with one another. That's not a very happy place. And so it's no wonder that those places begin to go by the wayside. But I'm thankful to be in a very happy place this afternoon. And know that you feel the same. But one other place I want to share with you. As I think about my happy place, I think not only about my home and about my Savior and His church. I think about heaven. And how blessed and how happy occasion was it, just the first Sunday of this month in the afternoon. We were here to hear all the men present participate in discussing why we want to go to heaven. I know a few places where that would take place, where you'd have 100% participation of all the men present who are members of the local church. And that's a great compliment to each of you. And I am encouraged by that and commend you for it. It was edifying to me to hear of the different reasons why we all want to go to heaven. And there are about 10 or 12 of those, if I remember right, that were communicated as to why we want to go to heaven. You know, the Bible teaches, and this songbook reminds us, that heaven will be our happy place. The song on Jordan's stormy banks, song number 461, in that first verse says, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye." You're familiar with standing on Jordan's banks. On Jordan's banks, Israel stood in the book of Joshua when they prepared to cross the Jordan to take possession of the promised land. And that's come to be viewed symbolically or metaphorically, if you will, of death itself. And there are those who don't know how to feel about facing death. But this song suggests, "On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye." Where is that wishful eye being cast? To our happy place. To Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. We can't cast that wishful eye if our possessions lie here. That's why Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but treasures in heaven." That's where our affection is. And so that's where our wishful eye is cast. And then the song says in verse 3, "When shall I reach that happy place and be forever blessed, when I shall see my Father's face and in His bosom rest?" The chorus reads, "We will rest in the fair and happy land, just across on the evergreen shore, sing the song of Moses and the Lamb, by and by, and dwell with Jesus forevermore." Sometimes we sing song number 398, entitled, "Everybody Will Be Happy Over There." That can't be said of here, can it? Is everybody happy here? Why, you don't have to go very far and come into contact with very many people to find a lot of people that are just unhappy. But everybody will be happy over there. We sing, "There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. There's the ransomed of all ages will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows they care. And the Christians of all nations will join in the triumph song. We will hear nobody praying and no mourning in that land, for no burdens there will be for us to bear. And the people will be singing glory, glory to the Lamb. There we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by His grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. We'll praise His name forever as we look upon His face. Everybody will be happy over there. I got to thinking about some reasons why everybody will be happy over there. The song that we're going to sing in just a moment appeals to us to do His commandments. Happiness or blessings associated with that in Revelation 22 and verse 14. When John the Revelator revealed, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Everybody will be happy over there because they'll have right to the tree of life. And the tree of life is in that place that's described in Revelation 21 and 22. Access to the tree of life was lost in the garden through Adam's sin, Genesis chapter 3. But is regained through Christ and accessible to those who do His commandments. Revelation 22:14. Everybody will be happy over there, not only because they'll have access to the tree of life, but also because that will be dwelling with God. Revelation 21 and verse 3, John said, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Think about dwelling with God, being in the presence of God. Everybody will be happy over there because the former things will have passed away. Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Next time you shed a tear, or you weep with someone who is in tears, you just remind yourself that everybody will be happy over there. Think about your happy place. Think about the fact that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death. Next time you are troubled by death, think about and long for that happy place. Neither sorrow nor crying. He said, neither shall there be any more pain. I'm in sympathy with those who live in pain. Folks who suffer and struggle with it every day. And it's but a reminder that this earth, this life, this body is temporary. And that there's a place where there'll be no more pain. And it ought to create a longing for that place where the former things are passed away. Everybody will be happy over there. Heaven will be a happy place because the unrighteous won't be there. No fearful, no unbelieving, no abominable, no murderers, no whoremongers, no sorcerers, no idolaters, no liars. In Revelation 21 and in verse 8. In verse 27, He said, "In no wise shall enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie." We're surrounded by that kind of goings-on. But there'll be no such thing in heaven. And in chapter 22 and verse 15, as opposed to those who enter the gates into the city, He said, "Without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers." And those dogs aren't the barking variety. Not like you have in your backyard. Not like the toy poodle or the basset hound. But dogs are used to represent evil people in the New Testament. So don't misconstrue the two. But He said sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whatsoever loveth and maketh a lie. Not going to be any of that there. And so it's going to be a happy place because the unrighteous won't be there. And in Revelation 22 and verse 1, there's going to be a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. And so when you are troubled, when you're unhappy, when you find disappointment in this life, in this world, think about your happy place. I've seen that on lots of different things, on t-shirts, maybe a little souvenir shop you visit. Maybe a destination. Maybe you've been in the mountains. Some of you like to go down to the Smokies, and you'll see a shirt that says, "This is my happy place." And I understand that there's some sense of happiness in getting away and enjoying God's creation. But I wanted to make spiritual application of that and encourage each one of us to enter Christ and the church, to be faithful members of the body of Christ, to work to make our home a happy place and be faithful unto death, so that heaven, where the Lord has gone to prepare a place for us, John 14:1-3, will be our eternal happy place. We sing, there's no disappointment in heaven. There'll be disappointments here on earth, but no disappointment in heaven. It's possible you're not a Christian, a child of God, all things are ready that you might become one. Be baptized into Christ, share in the blessing that's promised to those who are of Christ. If you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not been what you need to be, you've not been faithful, would you make whatever changes need to be made? Would you have the humility to say, I have sinned? Maybe you need to do that in your home. As a child, as a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife. Help that to be a happy place. I've not been what I need to be. And I ask for your forgiveness. I'm going to do better. Maybe as a member of the church, you need to do that. Would you have the courage to say, Father, I have sinned? And it'll be a happy thing, because there's joy and rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. We bid you come. Always stand and sing.